Well, dear friends, in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was just a couple of weeks ago that I had the opportunity to officiate at my first COVID wedding. Now, COVID weddings are those that have been scheduled well in advance and now, because of the pandemic, have had to make some adaptations to be a safe gathering with friends and loved ones and family to celebrate the occasion of a wedding. This was my first experience here at Bethel, and it went well. And as part of the preparation for it, of course, I would normally meet with the couple in one-on-one time, but we had to do all of our premarital counseling via Zoom. It was an opportunity for me to come to know the couple better. And in our conversations and preparation for their big day, I often asked the question, is there any significance to the date you have chosen for your wedding? Well, in this Zoom conversation, I could tell that the groom was a little bit sheepish in his response, but he finally admitted that he had actually really pushed for this particular date in October, which is why they didn't want to change it because of the pandemic. He said, "Well, Pastor, I have to admit, I chose 10/10/2020 so that I could remember the date. I didn't want to be that husband who forgot his anniversary." I appreciated his vulnerability and honesty. And the truth is, dates are significant, whether that's an anniversary date, a birth date, sometimes even the date of someone we have lost to death. Dates signify something that has been important in our life or our story, and continues to bear something in the midst of our own life's journey. Well, the date October 31st, 1517, continues to be a date that is significant in the life of Christians, especially Christians of the Lutheran tradition. As you heard in our back and forth and in the announcements today, of course, we mark this as the start of the Reformation. This journey that has been happening for over 500 years, as we know, began with Martin Luther's act of the 95 Theses being pounded on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. Now, if you remember, it has just been 3 years ago that the church spent a great deal of time and energy lifting up this 500th anniversary, and Bethel was a part of all of that as well. We had all kinds of celebrations and emphases around that 500th anniversary, including this cutout of Martin Luther, and there is one that accompanies it of Katie, his wife. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been shocked at how much FaceTime this cutout has received, even in the last 3 years. And if you're really tuning in and listening, you may be curious to learn where we store Martin and Katie Luther. But you can send me an email or give me a call to find out that little trivial tidbit. Now, this is, of course, a rendition of Martin Luther, and it has been a fun reminder of our history and what it is that Martin Luther brings to our story as Lutheran Christians. And Reformation Sunday is that opportunity for us to lift up and celebrate that heritage. But if you know your Reformation history, you know that it was never Martin Luther's intention to divide the church, let alone to create a whole new denomination named after him. Martin Luther's hope and greatest desire was that the gospel would be proclaimed, pure and simple grace of which the scripture lifts up, God's word unbound by the restrictions of the church of its time, God's grace known fully in the act of Jesus Christ and his redemption for you and for me. So even though it is Reformation Sunday and we want to herald the good things of Martin Luther, I'm certain that he would actually prefer if he stayed at the foot of the cross and that he was even behind that cross so as to not obscure the power of it. However, on this Reformation Sunday, I do want to make note of one enduring symbol of the Reformation, that being one thing attributed to Martin Luther. It is the Martin Luther Rose, the Luther seal or the Luther rose is what it is called. Now, this is a recently acquired gift that Bethel has received from the family of Pastor Bob Anka. Now, for those of you perhaps who do not know or are not connected as fully into Bethel's history, Pastor Anka served as our visitation pastor for many years, retiring from that position in 2009, having been a visitation pastor for 22 years. He recently died just a few weeks ago at the age of 98. In his time in serving at Bethel, it was in 2001 that there was a great celebration for Pastor Bob on the anniversary of his 50th year of being ordained into the ministry. At that celebration, many accolades were given for his work and his calling to serve the church, and a gift was presented to him on behalf of Bethel in their appreciation for his work. This was the gift that Bethel gave to Pastor Anka. Now, upon the death of Pastor Anka, his family is gathering around the various things that he has collected and been given over the years. And we received a card and this gift and these words from Pastor Anka's family. Bethel Lutheran, the Anka family would like Bethel to have this stained glass depiction of the Martin Luther symbol that dates back to the 1500s. The church can use it as it wishes. The Anka family. We will find a place for this to display it, but on this Reformation Day, it seemed appropriate for us to take a little time to think about the power of this symbol in the lives of our faith, especially as Lutheran Christians. I happen to notice that this seal is not only on display for today, but is permanently in the stained glass windows here in our south end of the sanctuary. There you can see Luther's rose, Luther's seal. And I happen to notice that Pastor Jason has a stole with Luther's seal as well. Maybe you want to come up here so the cameras can catch that beautiful actual stole with the seal on it as well. Very nice. And thank you, very well modeled. I know that Jim Baller on the organ has also quite the display of Luther memorabilia. So is there like a couple of puppets over there, by the way, or something on a Luther on a stick? Excellent. So this is, again, a day to lift up the Reformation, but this seal holds within it great reminders of the gifts of our faith in Jesus. Now, in the center of the seal is, of course, the cross of Christ on top of a red heart. In Martin Luther's words, "The first thing expressed in my seal is a cross, black within the heart, to put me in the mind that faith in Christ crucified saves us, for the just shall live by faith." At the center of this seal is the cross of Christ etched upon a heart. In the Old Testament reading we heard today from Jeremiah, God gives a promise to God's people. God says, "I will write my law upon your heart." And this law that God writes on the heart of God's people is that God will be their God, and you will be my people, God says. Note the actor here. It is God who makes the promise. It is God who writes that law on the hearts of his people. And because of that, whether the least or the greatest, all will know who it is that has called them, named them, claimed them. This is realized, of course, in the full story of salvation. For in our baptismal journey, we discover that that cross of Christ that is etched on our forehead is just as fully written on our hearts. On this Reformation Day, I invite you to participate with me in an activity. Now, many of you are tuned in online, so you are in the comfort of your own home. No one will have to see you if you are by yourself, but if you are a family, I hope this is something you can do with others gathered together. Will you simply place your hands on your heart? For a moment, if you can, feel that beat, that heartbeat coursing within you, giving you life. What a miracle this day that you have awakened, filled with life, a day set before you, opportunities, and that this life courses within you through no work of your own. It is how you've been created to be alive in this moment. Now imagine that this heart beating within you has been given a promise. How important it is for us to recognize the things that we hold so close to our hearts, whether that be joys or concerns. Sometimes we even say that our hearts feel heavy. Whatever it is that has burdened you this morning or filled you with joy, imagine the cross of Christ etched upon your heart to lift those burdens or to continue to give you joy. So if you would, just for a moment, mark the sign of the cross on your heart. For God writes a promise on your heart this day. In that reading from Jeremiah, we are reminded that the gift that God gives is a forgiveness of all your iniquity, God says, and I will remember your sin no more. When we live purely in God's grace, we live with a freedom that comes from a heart that is made clean, a heart that is redeemed by the grace of God through the cross. And because of that being the center of our existence, everything flows out of that place. Which is why Martin Luther set this cross on the heart in the midst of a beautiful white rose. Again, Luther writes, "But this heart is fixed upon the center of the white rose to show that faith causes joy, consolation, and peace." We need that peace that passes understanding that the world cannot give us, and in a freedom of God's grace through the redemption that we experience in the cross, why then we are free to fully live and serve. That freedom is spoken of in our gospel for today. In Romans as well, we say, apart from the law is the righteousness of God given to us by grace, not by any works of ours. And when we are freed in such a way that we live in that kind of hope and consolation and peace, why, God can do amazing things through you and me. That freedom has been something of a hot word in these days. Freedom as to what we can or cannot do. Freedom interpreted as a restriction in one manner or another. And yet freedom to be about how it is we can serve the greater good. For Christians, freedom is centered around this gift we receive first in Christ that then frees us to be of help to the neighbor in need. Freedom oftentimes is something that we have interpreted as having the freedom to do whatever we want to do. But that is not freedom of the Christian. Freedom of the Christian is to be centered in an awareness of how God might use us up in this world for the sake of the gospel. When you plant a garden, you plant that seed with the hope that something might grow, but you can't will that thing to grow, whether it be a fruit or produce, whether it be a beautiful rose. That is God's work, God's creative energy to bring forth new life and beauty and good things, fruit that will last. So too in your life, God is working within you to bring forth fruits, to bring forth beauty and life. But all of that springs out of grace, pure and simple grace. This rose, then, is set with a blue background. That blue background also has meaning. Martin Luther says, "This rose, moreover, is fixed in a sky-colored ground to denote that such joy of faith in the Spirit is but an earnest and beginning of heavenly joy to come." It'll be a week from today when we will have opportunity to lift up those who have died in the promises of faith and in the hope of the resurrection. All Saints Sunday, 1 week from today, we will name those people, including Pastor Bob Anka, including loved ones, perhaps, whom you are grieving as that loss is near. Indeed, it is an opportunity for us to realize this great hope we have in a time to come among the saints in light. Pastor Bob had many indications as to what he had wanted in his funeral service, and one of them included a poem that he had hoped to be on the back of his funeral folder. I want to share that with you today. It is by an author called Thomas Wursel, and it is a poem entitled, One Sunday Dawn. One Sunday dawn, God emptied Jesus' tomb, raised up his shrouded son from 3 days' death to verify unending life. One day, at his word, my grave too will yield its body, resurrected, alive forevermore, that he has promised. This is the hope we cling to as people of faith. It is a hope that is a motivator in this life to have joy and consolation and peace, and it is a hope that is eternal, which is why there is this golden ring that centers Luther's rose. Again, Luther writes, around this ground base is a golden ring to signify that such bliss in heaven is endless and more precious than all joys and treasures, since gold is the best and most precious metal. Christ, our dear Lord, will give grace unto eternal life. Amen, he writes. Our greatest treasure, our greatest joy, the gold ring, eternal, never ending. In just what they are affirming is truly the greatest treasure in their life, more precious than gold, this gift of faith. On this Reformation Sunday, perhaps this is an opportunity for you to affirm that faith as well, to live out again in your baptismal calling a renewed joy and wonder and an excited hope for what is to be and how God is calling you to serve the neighbor. Pastor Jason and I meet with each one of the confirmands before their day of confirmation, and we lift up to them the promises that are in the liturgy that we share together. And one of the things that I always read with each of the confirmands I meet with is a prayer that we speak over them, that we bless them with on their confirmation day. I remind them that their whole life of faith will have highs and opportunities for them to affirm these promises. In fact, Martin Luther would say every day we should remember our baptismal promises, perhaps making that sign of the cross on our forehead or being reminded that we are a child of God. In this gift of our baptism, we can live fully in a promise that the Holy Spirit is continually working within us, for us, and for the other. So I share with each confirmation student a prayer that will be prayed upon them in a time of blessing. And this day, I'd like to pray that prayer for you. Again, an opportunity for you to be interactive with this sermon. If you are with a family that are gathered together to watch this, I invite you to put a hand on the shoulder or even the head, whatever is most comfortable, of one with you. And if you are alone and watching this, simply place your hand on your head at this time as I offer this prayer of affirmation, of blessing. Let us pray. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in your child this day the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm your faith. Guide your life. Empower you in your serving. Give you patience in suffering. And bring you to everlasting life. Amen.